I'm a little bit concerned here because I want to have an uplifting quality conversation with Warren Moon, but I don't know if he would be aware of the news you just broke to our audience here in Toronto, Noodles, that Edmonton no longer goes by the City of Champions because they haven't won a championship in so long.
I think they took the sign down, and it was more like I want to say maybe it was the City of Calgary or people there kind of made a stir as to like, hey, you guys haven't won in a while, you know, smarten up type of thing. I don't remember. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I do believe that sign did come down.
All right. Well, let's bring in the man who was basically established that title in Edmonton, played a primary role, winning five straight Grey Cups. The Oilers won a bunch of Stanley Cups. Here is Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Warren, how do you react to that news that Edmonton is apparently no longer considered the City of Champions?
You know, it's kind of sad to hear, but didn't they win a cup about 3 or 4 years ago, the Grey Cup?
No, sir. Oh.
Well, they did. They're always in the running. Edmonton's always in the running. Yes, they are.
They've always got a shot.
They got a shot. The Oilers.
When was their last cup?
Oh, we couldn't tell you. You're asking the wrong guys for CFL history.
Come on, you're sportscasters. You're supposed to know these things. You got all that information in front of you.
Stanley Cup was 89, Grey Cup, no idea.
No, yep. I think the Grey Cup, Warren, I think you are right. I think it was a couple of years ago.
There you go.
There you go.
So
there maybe
go.
They
keep
still
us
are
in that status.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, you might have to get back up there and play quarterback.
Well, they didn't win nine championships in 10 years like it happened during our time. But as long as you continue to keep winning championships, you should keep that title.
Yeah, I think you're right. With pro
not
football.
Like it's Winnipeg or somewhere like that.
Yeah, Calgary or some ridiculous spot like that.
Or some city like Toronto.
Watch yourself, Warren. Now you're getting into our ballpark. We got the Raptors. They just won a title, so we got
there
that going
go.
For us.
There you go. First time ever.
Yep, we got that going for us for
there
sure.
There you go.
First time ever, it sounds like the NFL draft next month is not going to have any fans. No one's going to be there.
7 days long.
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to go 7 days. I think they're sticking to the 3 or 4 days. But if you're Joe Burrow and you know you're going first overall and the crowd's going to be behind you, how disappointing would that be, Warren, knowing that you know it's your year, you're up, and because of the circumstances and COVID-19, you're not going to be able to experience the NFL draft?
Yeah, you won't be able to experience it the way you've probably seen it, you know, growing up and watching guys walk up on the stage, you know, receive their hat of their team and take the big hug, the big bear hug from Roger Goodell. But I'll tell you what, those guys won't be any less happy to know that, especially Joe Burrow, the first overall pick in the draft, no matter where he finds out the news, because that's the most exciting thing about it, that you're the number one overall pick in the draft. You're going to go to a team that's 2 hours away from your house, and you have a chance to help rebuild that team and get them back on the winning track. So, again, for all those young guys, it won't happen the way they always envisioned it, but as long as it happens, they would rather get that call than not get that call and not be able to go through any of the process, because there's a lot of guys who want to be drafted, who think they're going to be drafted, and don't get drafted. So as long as you're getting drafted, the pomp and circumstance can come later.
What is your thought process, Warren, on going wherever you're drafted? People have short careers. Some people want to play in certain situations. Are you of the belief where no matter what the team is, like or dislike the city, you go there, you perform and do your best? Or do you believe the athlete should be able to say, I don't really feel like playing there, I want to play somewhere else, much like Eli Manning did back in the day, I believe it was San Diego?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the leverage that you feel like you have in a certain situation. Some guys are able to do that, like Eli Manning. John Elway did it back when he came out. He was supposed to go to the Baltimore Colts, I think, and he ended up going to Denver. But, you know, it really leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths when that happens. Mm-hmm. And eventually people get over it, but it is something you have to be willing to endure in the beginning, especially when you shun a whole city, and especially if it doesn't work out and you still have to go to that city. That's a big risk that you're taking. So I'm all for going wherever you get drafted, but there are guys that feel differently about it, and if they have the right leverage to get it done, hopefully it does get done. But if it doesn't, boy, it could be a very negative for you for the rest of your career.
With Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon, a future Hall of Famer, will be playing in Tampa this upcoming season, and that's Tom Brady. For the first time in 20 years, He's leaving New England. He's leaving what he's familiar with, a culture that he helped establish, a coach who he's familiar with, the playbook that he knows. He'll be 43 years old week one this upcoming season. How confident are you that Brady will be comfortable and will succeed in Tampa?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. Of course, you'd love to have as much time in the offseason to get acclimated to your new city, to your new teammates, to the new offense and everything that you're going to go through in moving from one city to another. But, you know, Tom's been around so long. I think he understands offenses. He understands defenses as well as anybody. And I think between him and Bruce Arians, their head coach, and Byron Leftwich, their offensive coordinator, they'll be able to put together an offense that he can understand, that's going to help take advantage of his best abilities, because that's what they did in New England for him over all those years. And there'll be a lot of symmetry there as far as what they end up running. Again, you'd love to be around your teammates to be able to help establish the new culture and all those different things that Tom Brady will bring to that team. But because he is a veteran, because he has seen so much and understands offenses, I think he won't have that tough learning curve, and I think things will go well for him in Tampa.
Saw a report today that the Chargers are letting the league know that they're sticking with Tyrod Taylor. He's going to be their starting quarterback. In other words, they're not looking into the services of Cam Newton. Now, it's only a report. It's not confirmed. Anything can change overnight. But at this point, Cam is having a difficult time finding a job. Are you surprised by that? And do you think he should find another starter's role in the NFL?
Well, if he's healthy, there's no question. I think Cam Newton can be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. The problem is nobody knows, you know, how healthy he is, because you can't give him the examination by any doctors, especially of your own doctors, and most teams want their own doctors to do the examinations on players. So I know he's sending out, you know, videos and different things like that showing him working out, but I think teams really want to see some x-rays. They want to see exactly what that injury looks like to his foot, and I think there's a lot of worry out there that he's been beaten up so much over the last 4 or 5 years by how much punishment he's taken. What type of shape is his body really in, and how much can he endure? So I think that's a big problem, and I also think because of his personality, he has a huge personality that he brings to a football team, and he's the leader of your team. It's not like he's a wide receiver coming in or a running back or somebody like that. He's your quarterback, and there's a lot of people that might not want all that personality that he brings along with himself to a team as far as being the leader. So I'm sure he's got both of those things working against him.
Warren, we were talking about yesterday the physicality that the quarterbacks had to endure back in the day, back when you played, compared to what it's like today. Do you watch today's game sometimes and wish you had that type of support and protection from the league?
I really do. I mean, in some ways, it's almost it almost makes you laugh at some of the hits that these guys take, and they call roughing the passer, where a guy might be trying to block his pass, and all of a sudden his hand comes off and grazes his helmet, and they get a roughing the passer on that. Those types of things, I just have to laugh at and say, now that's a little bit of overkill. But you know, when you're taking a guy and driving him to the turf when you don't have to, and all your body weight falls on him, things like that, that I could see being called, but there's some things that they take a little bit too far. But that is a position that the league feels like they need to protect, because they're the bread and butter of this league. They're what makes the league go right now, the quarterback position, especially the way the rules have been changed to make the passing game so important. So I understand it, but I think they go a little bit too far in some cases, where defensive players can't really be defensive players sometimes against quarterbacks.
Well, that's what we were saying yesterday when we were talking about just the differences in generations, and the idea of Tom Brady having to play with Lawrence Taylor with an attitude. Like,
oh,
Lawrence,
yeah.
Lawrence is not in a good mood, and no, Lawrence is feeling it. What's that like?
Yeah, he's been known to break legs of quarterbacks and things like that, and I played against him, and he's one of the four guys that that I wouldn't say I feared when I played, but I really, really respected on that side of the football. So one of those guys that you have to worry about where he lines up each and every play, how you're going to block him, you know, are you going to chip him, are you going to put a tight end over there, are you going to slide your line that way. You worry about him so much that it allows other guys to make plays on their defense. So those are the type of guys that you really fear, not so much in being scared, but as far as the respect factor of what he can do to just cause havoc for your offense.
Always great catching up with you. Thank you for taking the time, as always, Warren. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll do it again down the road.
Same for you guys. Thank you very much for having me on. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Warren Moon, Pro Football Hall of Famer, City of Champion.
Yeah, that's so funny. But I
former
just,
City of Champions.
Yeah, right. Former, apparently. But I'll have to dig around. I'll ask a few buddies from back home to see if that sign is still there. I swear that it came down like a while back. But it's funny that, you know, he verified, like, Lawrence Taylor. Like, they literally had to shift the line to, like, watch this guy, like, this lunatic. And it is. Like, he said it diplomatically, but you know he's sitting there on his couch watching on Sundays going, man, I wish I could have played in today's era.
Oh, and, dude, like how mobile he was, his arm, like his Warren Moon, guys like that, to play in an era like this where if you get that level of protection where you get pass interference calls weren't available to them the way they are today. No. So with his arm, you thought, like, you know that's a part of the NFL playbook now. Just throw it up and hope you get a flag. And that didn't exist back in the day, to say nothing of the protection and just the ability to feel more confident and safe in the pocket, right? Yeah. Like, you know, chances are the guy's not going to hit you, and if he does hit you, he's going to hit you safely and try to go out of his way to protect you as a quarterback, where, again, Taylor, like Lawrence, was coming around the corner. He was trying to kill you. Like, if he could get you in the helmet, he would get you in the helmet.
Yeah.
And it was celebrated.
And even the generation before that were like Dick Butkus.
Butkus and the boys, like Mean Joe Green, breaking through the line, like, and trying to kill somebody.
There's a nickname for you, Mean Joe Green.
Green. Yeah, the Iron Steel.